We are back. Transmissions are not on a continuous basis. We should have talking over this. You are listening to Radio Statler on radio.hope.net. And are we hearing us? I'm hearing us. I'm hearing us, and well, I think others might be hearing us as well.
There we go.
There we are.
Okay. So, this is 26 o'clock. I am Night Owl. With me for this year, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And Neo Amsterdam.
Good evening.
I think we've got to get you that mic over here.
Okay, well, we have an extra guest here.
Do we have an extra guest?
We have an extra guest.
Okay.
Besides the mic thumping.
Yes. She can.
The extra guest can take a seat over here
yes.
in front of the.
The extra guest can join us at the microphone
and
here.
Put on the head type phones.
Yes.
As soon as we find somewhere to plug them in.
I'm hearing you.
Yes, there's actually a channel missing here.
No, carry on.
That's because this is a single channel input. You're inputting on a mono channel.
We're not supposed to be mono.
Well, that's sucks.
Yes, it does.
Professional radio makers.
Can you read off this guy?
Hmm?
Can you read off the orange?
Well, I'm not quite sure why we're doing this.
No, see, you are actually plugged into the left side of a mono. And I don't think we have any other line to use.
Well, we did have a line to use. It was that line. We were told not to use it.
Yeah, we can't use it. So, we are
all
stuck
right.
with what
Let's
we're stuck
see
with.
If I can finagle something here.
So I really have no idea which plug these are supposed to go into.
Well, can you hear stuff?
So I'm just trying different ones. I'm not sure I can hear anything.
I'm not sure I'm hearing you. It might be something I ate.
That would be a problem. That would indeed be a problem.
The joy of being
okay.
around the Marx Brothers.
Well, is this on?
Yes, that's on.
Yes, that's on.
Is this on? It looks like it's on.
It is on.
Okay, good. Right, I can see on the board.
Yes. So we are hearing you, and we are free to say things.
Okay, here we go. Okay, now we can hear ourselves. This is important.
It's a slight improvement.
Right.
That's debatable.
Well, it's an improvement for someone.
Let's leave it to the listeners to decide.
Right.
Both of them?
Now we've got three people in there.
Yeah. And so now that we've got everything sorted out, and we can all apparently hear ourselves and each other, our extra special guest can introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Sidechick.
Right. So, this is the continuation of a program that we tried to do 2 years ago, where some things worked, some things didn't. We've spent the last 2 years doing a sort of post-mortem on it, trying to figure out what worked, what didn't. And
well,
hopefully,
to be honest, it only took about a day or two to do a post-mortem, but we've been finessing for the last 2 years.
Sure, that's...
All
that's,
14 days of it.
That's what we're calling it.
That's... Well, it sounds a lot better if you say that you've actually been working on it for 2 years now, doesn't it?
Well, if we had a stereo input, we probably would have heard the fact... All right. I'm not going to go there.
The listeners... Well, some of our listeners actually probably do care about the technical aspects of our broadcasting equipment.
Well, we are at a hackers conference. You would think that technical details would be important, but...
Well...
Who knew?
That there are... non-technical people, and there are non-audio people that are listening.
Gasp. Horror.
I know. But, so anyway, this is something that we've been developing for quite a while. Hopefully this will go a lot more smoothly than it did 2 years ago.
If it goes more smoothly than the previous program, I'll be fine.
Well that sounds good.
Well, the previous program was highly interesting for the few minutes I was here. Must give credit where it's due.
So you're taking credit for that?
Why not? Was it good?
Oh, it was wonderful.
In that case, I take all the credit for it.
We got to do that again sometime.
Yeah, right. Let's do it tomorrow.
Okay. So, now that we've established who's taking credit for what...
I don't think we've introduced ourselves.
Have we? I thought we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we just did.
Let's do it again. What the hell?
Yeah, why not?
I liked it once.
So, I am Night Owl. With me this year are international star of radio and now stage.
And published author.
And published author, Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Resident Mac fanatic.
Ex-Mac fanatic.
Withdrawal resident symptoms. Power PC fanatic.
Oh, they're definitely.
Neo Amsterdam.
I didn't know you wrote a book.
I wrote a forward to a book.
That counts.
And lovely side chick, who is...
Co-creator of the media show on the YouTube.
Yes.
A show about media literacy.
Media literacy education. And she has also recently interviewed, amongst others, Emmanuel Goldstein and Mitch Altman.
Yes.
Who many of you will probably... at least know of, if not be familiar with.
Rings a bell.
Yeah. Someone will know them or figure them out somehow. So, since this is the beginning of the show, well, it was the beginning of the show, now it's less the beginning, we usually take this time to review what has happened in the past 2 years since the previous conference. So, does anyone have anything particular that they'd like to start with?
I have additional gray hairs in my beard.
I have additional gray hairs, period.
I think all of us do, except possibly Psychic.
One or two.
Right. Okay, so it's established everyone on the radio right now has more gray hairs in their beards than they did before.
We'll go with that. We'll just go with that.
Sure. Or something. Okay. Too much dinner. We should do something about that.
We'll just lean back. We'll be fine.
Okay.
Or forward. Good Lord.
Right. Okay. So, in the 2 years since our last conference, when, last year, we were all in a tizzy because we were expecting the conference to be invaded by a small army of federal agents attempting to apprehend. Yes, indeed. Attempting to apprehend Julian Assange, who had been programmed to be one of the keynote speakers.
I didn't know he was a robot.
Oh, he is, didn't you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what the hair is.
He might be the
for.
Last one on the internet to find that out.
Oh, yes. Fascinating.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why he's got the hair like that. It's actually a hidden transmitter.
Ah.
It's how he gets new programs and everything.
Well, who reprogrammed him to get or to seek asylum in Ecuador?
I'm pretty sure that was the NSA.
Oh, interesting.
Or possibly the CIA as a means of discrediting him.
Or the Ecuadorian Tourist Board.
It could be them as well.
Well, they have to have something.
I mean, we can't put anything past them. Who knows?
And true, just saying visit the equator is not enough.
It really isn't. So since then, we've had, in some ways, at least in the news media, quite a lot of vindications of WikiLeaks, claims that they had been a major force behind the Arab Spring revolts, which, at least by some accounts, have gone quite well. By others, they've been having a bit of trouble.
A hard time getting out of first gear in some countries, I'd say.
Well, I mean, in some countries, you have, you know, a massive military that doesn't feel too bad about turning on its own people.
Well, this is true of many.
That tends to put a bit of a damper on civilian uprisings and peaceful demonstrations. Elsewhere, Julian Assange has been trying to fight off various allegations of...
Hanky-panky?
Well, we'll go with that, because I don't think we really need to discuss the specifics of the allegations or the... what I think truly nightmarish tangle of various accusations, counter-accusations, and claims made in relation to all that.
Besides, hanky-panky is a fun phrase.
It just rolls off the tongue. It is. It does.
What else have we had?
Unless I missed something, he's now holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Correct.
Still awaiting word on whether or not he will be able to claim asylum there.
And if anybody in London happens to know, please dial in. That way we can find out for ourselves.
Do we have a dial-in?
No, we don't.
We don't have a dial-in?
Nope.
No.
But you had a dial-in.
I had a Skype.
Oh, you're not sharing, huh? All right. No, in that case, I guess IRC...
The thing is, he's holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. But even if he gets permission from the Ecuadorians to claim asylum, he's still got to leave the Ecuadorian embassy in order to get anywhere. And once he leaves the Ecuadorian embassy, there are police waiting to arrest him, regardless of what kind of permission he gets. So it's going to be fun watching this unfold, even if it's a successful bid for asylum.
I mean, who knows? He might turn out to be James Bond or something. Some sort of daring escape with a hidden helicopter in his boot.
They'll send 4 Julian Assanges out of each different direction. Just hunt down all of them. One of them will get away. Yeah,
it's the Ecuadorian job.
Indeed. Right, so what else have we had? Well, the death of Steve Jobs, who, if you were listening to us last year...
I have nothing to do with that.
If you were listening to us 2 years ago, rather, if you could hear us at all, you probably at some point heard one of my various brief rants about my distaste for his management style and policies.
Mm. It'd be nice if I get the audio to match it. That wasn't the one I was looking for.
Oh, pity. Well, you need to work on that.
Oh, well.
At about the same time, we had the death of Dennis Ritchie, co-creator of the C programming language and the Unix operating system.
Wasn't aiming for that one either.
Well, you really need to work on your aim.
Yes, I really do. Let's see if I can find an appropriate one.
Well, we'll give you a few seconds on that one.
Forget it.
If such a thing exists.
Right.
If such a thing exists.
Which I felt was quite problematic, just because having the two of them die so closely together, one of them had to be picked up by the major media, and one of them, by the logic of the major media, could be safely ignored. Now, here's a question. One person genuinely creates brand new things and spends their entire life being humble, gracious, and trying his best to ensure that his co-workers and co-creators are given full credit for their input and their work. The other is a megalomaniacal narcissist who basically spends his entire career amassing a gigantic fortune based on other people's creations.
The Unix guy did all that.
No, that was Steve Jobs.
Oh.
I really think that the worship of Steve Jobs is...
Yeah, the shrines that you saw, you know, getting set up outside of Apple stores, that was a bit much.
That was. Not to mention just for a week, I could not watch the news at all because all I would hear was how great Steve Jobs was and how much we'll lose because he's not around to create these fantastic products of his. Products which routinely remove user control, user input, and are designed entirely to lock you into Apple's walled garden. Whereas...
You mean the blue box?
Oh, if only they still made those.
Actually, I think if they made those today, they would find a way to DRM them and...
There's an app for that instead.
Yeah. There is an app
Oh, there
for
is,
that.
Isn't there? Yes.
Yes, it's...
You,
yes, hardware is no longer...
PLA.
Yes, it's a PLA app. If you search for PLA on the Google Play Store for your Android phone, you will find a red box and a blue box by a fella named Trevelin from Weeknet Labs who did some PLA apps. And so now if you find a blue boxable or red boxable phone, you can use your phone on that phone to make a phone call.
Well, how about that? Being able to use a phone with another phone to make a phone call.
We are living in the future. The future is now.
It isn't it?
I have seen the future and it is overrated.
Is it?
Yes, I was there yesterday.
I was there tomorrow.
Well. How was it?
It will have been good.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, these verb conjugations are so...
Oh. Thank you.
I'm glad it wasn't my mistake.
Nope. It will be.
Will be has been, or has been will be?
It's will and haven't been.
Indeed. Will and haven't Nosfri?
I don't speak Welsh.
Ah,
well,
there
that's
we
good.
Now
don't
finally
start.
We have a little audio.
So let's see, other things that have happened in the past couple of years possibly include like the rise of the major advertising companies sort of cluing in on the idea of viral marketing and really trying to leverage the internet to spread word about their products, their movies, their
crap.
Men in towels with body wash.
Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yes, it's not actually the it's not the deodorant, it's the body wash that he's trying to sell.
I thought he was trying to sell large, physically fit, shirtless males.
Oh. I mean, there was one specific large, physically fit, shirtless male. If they wanted to sell Isaiah Mustafa, you know, at every store, then they'd probably do, be doing better.
They might be able to clone him.
Maybe.
A lot. I don't know. I don't know.
I think there are only two countries that permit that now. But since we are on the topic of soap, and on behalf of our attendees, we have a public service announcement. Hopefully it'll play through.
Please listen to the style I'm going to sing. It's strongly directed to all the misery you're bringing. Now, I'm not all about this and someone else's personnel. But there's no quota on your odor. That's right, you smell. You might feel a little embarrassed. Don't take it too hard. And don't make it worse by covering it up with some right guard. Before you even put on your suit shirt and back the rope, just take your big ass to the bathroom and please use a little bit.
Okay, well.
That was interesting. I didn't know you had those guys waiting outside to do that.
Oh, absolutely. They follow me everywhere.
Oh, that's good.
Well, one should always carry one's theme music with one.
That has to get expensive at some point, doesn't it?
Oh, only the royalties, but then again, they work for scale.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
C
good.
Major, F minor.
Oh, well.
I used to have a goldfish who worked for scale.
Pisces, I bet.
Sounds very economical.
So we are coming up on the 20-minute mark, and I guess we can open up the discussion at this point.
Well, we probably should, since we seem to have completely run out of things that we'd prepared.
Yes. We have a schedule to keep,
yes,
theoretically.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, find something and fill some air.
I've got plenty that can fill the air.
I know.
So let us begin with our topics of the day. However, I think we're short one person in the talent department.
Well, we were supposed to have yet another special guest. On the other hand, I may have told him to be here 20 minutes from now.
Oh.
Ah, I see. So we can just start reading L. Reg and just spout off things.
Yes.
We could switch off what we're going
to
do.
Audience,
we could ask the audience
to just talk amongst themselves.
Yes.
Yes, let's do that.
I'll tell you what, we'll listen to them for a while.
Yes. They can shout into their, computers really, really loudly, and
the tubes will reverberate
if they wish really hard.
And
I think I can.
And somehow we'll hear them.
And if everyone who believes in fairies claps their hands,
they'll be squatting flies.
Yeah, or no, wait, I thought that was supposed to bring Tinkerbell back to life.
Oh, who cares about Tinkerbell?
Oh wait, no.
Everybody's trying to get it to Pink Pants.
I saw her running I saw her running around up on 18 earlier.
Fairies are the new princesses.
Are they?
Did you know this?
I
mean, Brave has happened, so that's kind of brought the princess back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Disneyland.
Fairies are the new princesses.
All about the fairies.
Except now it's princesses are the new princesses.
Yes, well, princesses.
Or is it
the
princesses are the new fairies?
Yeah. Well,
okay. See, this gets very complicated. Very
quickly. Maybe it's the artist formerly known as princesses.
Hmm.
You know. The Disney princess view.
Well, that's good, because I have to admit that the rest of us here don't have terribly much knowledge of the Disney princesses.
My update.
I don't admit too much.
I make it a point to avoid Disney at all costs. Fortunately, he's dead.
Yes.
He's alive and well
and
all over Times Square.
Well, yes, but if all you're trying...
Times Square is only for tourists, though. I mean, we are true New Yorkers.
Tourists and smelly bootleg Elmo costumes.
Yes.
Oh, that actually is good news.
Well,
performance wise.
I mean,
well,
we
went from the naked cowboy to them. So
what happened to him? Is he still around?
He's still around, and he's currently suing, I believe, a half naked Indian.
He tried suing
the
naked cowgirl.
Other people getting in on the half naked.
That I can see causing some problems.
No, he tried suing a naked cowgirl who I met with another colleague of ours, Dr. Andrews, and we were off doing a thing, and we met a lady called Sandy Kane, who is an elderly stripper, and she decided as a sideline to go out into Times Square dressed as the naked cowgirl. In a very similar outfit to the famous naked cowboy, and she did this, and he took issue with it and decided to cease and desist and sue her, and he lost because she was allowed to parody what he was doing. And so it warms my heart to know that, you know, as Disneyfied as it ever gets, New York is still a welcoming place for elderly strippers.
Dressing up in a parodic manner.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's very important that right be protected. The right of elderly strippers to parody other people who dance in the streets in very little clothing.
I think the more amazing part is that New York City is still immune to half-naked people going around the city.
Well, it's legal.
And it's summer.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's legal for women to be topless. There's topless chess in Central Park that happens.
Yes.
And Eddie, I keep missing it.
I think that's very
well, I'm
fair.
Sure that is what our founding fathers intended.
Boobies?
Well, they didn't really intend that.
That may be what they hoped for.
I think they
for.
Intended, yes. Yes. But ultimately, when they endowed us with the right to walk around New York City without chest coverings, I think that's really what they were going for. Or rather, when they failed to prohibit us from doing so.
Has anyone seen our rails?
Do we have those?
Okay.
Oh, those things. No, we tossed them out the window a while back. They were weighing us down.
Good to know.
Yeah. On the topic of rights and crazy people, some of our listeners are probably familiar with the online cartoonist Matt Inman, better known as the Oatmeal. And this is rather old news at this point, I think, for...
Well, it just keeps, you know, evolving into...
It does.
It's the story that keeps on giving.
It
really
does. It really does. This is the great thing about crazy lawyers that don't know when to stop. They are crazy lawyers who don't know when to stop filing things that end up as part of the public record. So, Matt Inman, over a year ago now, discovered that, even before this, had discovered that a website, funnyjunk.com, was hosting copies of his comics, most of which had been stripped of attribution, and his copyright information, and posted up there without any sort of credit or attribution whatsoever, in what is fairly clear, at least legally,
I believe the phrase you're looking for is fair use. This is parody, correct?
No. This is theft.
Well, theft is possession.
Yeah, they weren't parodying. They were just
They were not parodying. They were just pilfering?
Posted.
Yes, yeah. They were taking his cartoons.
Mm-hmm. You see, I'm learning here, folks.
They were taking his cartoons off of his website and then just... blurring out or cutting out his copyright information.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Not the copyrighted product, but rather his little mark.
So, you know,
that's
they
good.
Have Garfield without Garfield. This was the oatmeal without...
The Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah.
This is the oatmeal without the creator's name on it.
Yes.
Gasp.
Yes. So, he was somewhat understandably a bit upset about the idea that this website was... monetizing the copying of his content was not compensating him in any way and was not giving him credit for the work. So he, instead of filing some big lawsuit or threatening them or anything else, repeatedly asked them politely to, or at least according to what reports we've had, requested that they take down the comics that he had identified and take steps to try to make sure that this would not recur. They told him basically to take a hike, at least from my understanding of the situation. So his response was to write a blog post calling them out on this behavior and condemning it. Over a year later, this lawyer, Charles Carrion.
Carrion.
Is it Carrion?
It's Carrion, which is
a okay, a year later, here we go.
I'm an autodidact. I can't tell how things are pronounced. But over a year later, this lawyer writes him a letter claiming that his blog post, which is over a year old now, is defamatory of his client, since things which were facts then are no longer facts now.
His client being funnyjunk.com.
Yes. Both the cartoonist Matt Inman and Mr. Inman's lawyer both responded with rebuttals. His lawyer with a very well-reasoned argument as to why this was a very, very bad idea. And Mr. Inman with a comedically annotated version of the demand letter, spelling out the various logical and factual errors and responding to many of the claims that were made, and ultimately closing with the statement that instead of paying the $20,000...
That should have been muted. I apologize.
Yes, don't do that.
Sorry.
Don't do that.
Especially since it's ahead of schedule.
Yes.
Really
don't. Anyway,
get that brass band out of here.
Yes,
guys, you have to leave.
Get out.
And you're not going to pay.
Even the bongos, take them out.
Even your sousaphone. Oh, yep. I'm sorry, tuba.
Well, the sousaphone already left.
Anyway, so
he barely got in the door.
So we had a well-reasoned argument, and an ident for our half-hourly mark.
Yes. And so the response to the demand letter closed with a statement by Inman that instead of paying the $20,000 that had been demanded, he would instead attempt to raise that amount and then donate it to the National Wildlife Foundation and the American Cancer Society. The lawyer, Carrion, responded to this by filing a lawsuit against Mr. Inman, claiming that he was a commercial fundraiser in violation of California law, specifically California law regarding commercial fundraising, claiming that Inman had also coordinated a series of attacks and online vandalism against Mr. Carrion, and also enjoining both the charities and the fundraising website that Inman was using to run his charity drive. Now, the story gets very, very complicated, legal, and increasingly insane. Because
I like that part.
Yes. I mean, it's the insanity that really gets you.
Like their wives getting... One wife.
Oh.
Whose wife gets...
Carrion's. Carrion's. Yes. I'm not sure that Inman is married, actually. I have no idea about that. But, yes.
Well,
Carrion's
probably
wife.
Shouldn't apply, except then she got online and wrote this long ranting message about how everyone who was, you know, telling her husband to stop doing what he was doing was...
But isn't that sort of the position of the wife nowadays? You know, your husband gets in trouble, you open up on Twitter, you make more trouble?
No.
Thereby
well,
distracting
no.
any trouble that the husband has?
It's compounding the trouble.
If it is indeed the wife's role in society to do this, now, at least to follow this example, then it seems that the wife's duty this, at least according to Mr. and Mrs. Carrion, the wife's duty now is to when her husband does something incredibly stupid and invites massive, massive public backlash, the thing to do is to go online and call everyone who disagrees with your husband fascists, Nazis.
She got straight up Godwin on everybody.
Totally.
Oh, yes. Just straight away, Godwin's law.
If this is, if this is the role that I am to look forward to in my life, then I'm going to I'm gonna need to lose a few IQ points and the ability to close a sentence.
I think the ability to form a coherent English sentence.
Well, they were sentences. They were just
essay.
I think it stops being a sentence when it is, in fact, just a comma-separated list of adjectives.
Please, beware your run-ons.
I mean, it's one thing to have a run-on sentence. Sometimes you just cannot avoid it.
Yep, runs belong in stockings, not in conversation.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounded good.
No, if he hadn't said that, it would sound so prophetic.
Yes.
Speaking of prophetic, we are time for an ident, so ladies and gentlemen, stand by.
All right.
Let's see if this works.
We'll be back in a minute.
Actually, you're going to be back in less than a minute.
Well.
Now it won't play. I hate this program.
Okay, and we are back. Now, in just a moment, you'll probably notice that we have switched out one of our chairs here.
Those of you paying attention to where our butts are.
Yes, yes.
Very concerned about one.
Those of you who can somehow pay attention to this, despite the fact
that...
Well, the handful of people who have figured out how to find that thing, because we haven't told anyone.
Well, first off, they deserve it.
Because we've, as I said before, we've all got great faces for radio.
We really do. We really do. We are very well endowed for radio in that way. yes, but for those of you who are... For those of you who are watching on the webcam and who are getting it to work, and for those of you who are somehow able to follow exactly where we're sitting over the radio using nothing but the sound of our voices... You will now notice that we have someone else in the chair to my left. Say hello.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, for those who don't know, I'm Gonzo.
Right. Well, since, have you ever been on the radio before?
Oh, occasionally.
Okay. I mean, enough that you can rely on... our listeners being able to identify you just by the sound of your voice?
Theoretically, or if not, for those who have been here in the past, have probably heard me ranting and raving in the halls.
For those who haven't attended Hope, would you care to tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, what's there to tell? Gonzo, I've been doing this thing for, 22 years now.
Has it really been that long?
Yep.
Wow.
June of 90 is when I was asked to join LOS.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay, so now you were coming in here to talk a bit about, if I remember correctly, you had wanted to talk a bit about the changes that the hacker community has undergone in the past few years.
Actually, I would even say that the hacker community is dead.
Really?
It's now the Hacker Neighborhood.
Hacker Neighborhood?
It's a neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
If anyone were to take a look at what's in the program, we've got talks on autism, depression, and hackers now. We never had that in our past. These are neighborhood issues. This is what you would see people in neighborhoods talking over fences with their neighbors about.
Okay, I mean, I guess if we could explain a little bit more about what the difference between a community and a neighborhood is.
Well, because in the neighborhood, you know your neighbors more than you do in a community.
Okay.
And
I mean, I don't know if you've lived in the suburbs, because they have these community watch things where everybody, you know, looks at what everybody else is doing and
I'm
chases
from Jersey,
them down.
And I yeah, know yeah, what yeah. it's like.
So if anything, like it feels to me as if we had a situation where people were talking about their problems and kind of keeping an eye on each other. That's more like a community where people are taking care of each other versus a neighborhood where it's just, you know, let's see who's walking their dog.
Well, the neighborhoods that I've been living in over the years, mm-hmm. it was where everyone kept an eye on each other and helped out where they could.
Okay.
It was a community seems kind of impersonal. Neighborhoods
really?
Are. Yeah.
Well, I've always thought of them as being the opposite way around. A neighborhood is simply a geographic area defined by certain
realtors.
Yes, mostly logistical or arbitrary boundaries, while a community was one in which the population was connected and communicated closely with each other.
Oh, we've gotten more intimate over the years.
Well, that's
that's a neighborhood thing. When you go out in the backyard and you're talking over your fence to your neighbors about local issues.
Okay, well we were talking
Before you got here about how the hacker community has changed over the past couple of years, and you say that this is something that you've identified here at Hope this year.
Oh yeah.
What is it about this year versus previous years? Like, where do you think this has come from?
I don't know if it's just a slow defanging of hackers over the years.
Defanging.
It seems like we've got more. It's more intimacy, it seems like, because this year's talks aren't as technical as they've been over the years. There's more of a creative edge to it.
Okay. Yes. Well, I think at least part of that has always been a certain element of hope, at least as far as I've known it, and I've only been attending for so long. I haven't been here from the beginning. But it seems like hope has always, or at least for a very long time now, been the less technical, more community, or in your wording, neighborhood-oriented conference compared to, say, DEF CON or Black Hat, which are extremely technical and very focused on usually security.
Look at what we've had over the years. It was typically this exploit and those back doors open, etc. And now we're talking about autism and depression. I never thought I would see this day.
Well, to be honest, I think to a certain extent, I think discussing those sorts of issues, particularly in the hacker community or neighborhood, is a good thing. For the community or neighborhood.
Actually, I would say it's overdue.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in part that's been delayed somewhat by the relative obscurity of a lot of those issues and the social and political stigma attached to a lot of those issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, one thing that's interesting worth noting, and this is going back, if I remember correctly, 2600 was established in 1984.
Correct.
Now, I think most of the people present here are younger than 2600. I mean, maybe a 50-50 split. But if you consider that anybody born in 1984 is now, what, 20-some-odd years?
27, roughly.
25, 26, 27, around that ballpark. That means that people who are of the generation where technology is a necessity of life, who are inquisitive or simply just need a community, have grown up and come into maturity and are now looking at themselves and saying, what the hell happened and how did we become our parents? Well, technological parents, at least.
Well, I mean, I at least had the advantage of having parents who had access to a computer when I was growing up. So I actually was using a console interface before I could read. this may or may not have had something to do with later developments.
Can you read now?
Oh, yes, yes. I did eventually learn that.
Okay.
Highly important skill.
It is. It is.
The thing about, like, the issue of hackers coming together in a type of neighborhood and talking about things like autism and depression and all these things that didn't get a look in before, there's a natural component to any sort of relationship that we have with someone else that we care about, where if you make a friend, you become friends based on one common interest or one thing you share. You eventually get to talking, and you start learning about other things that each other is dealing with, and you might find out that this friend has some sort of medical condition or personal issue or something of which you weren't previously aware. So as a result, because you care about the person, you learn about it yourself, and you learn more about what they're dealing with. And so since this is a natural component of any sort of friendship that that people have, the fact that our community is coming together for things besides what we all started here for, is a good indication that, like, the community as a whole is sort of maturing and realizing that, you know, we can't always be just banging on about one aspect of our lives and neglecting the others because we're finding out that that's actually dangerous. We have cases like there was a fella called Stefan Urbach who worked with Telecomics last year, who ended up posting a lengthy blog post on how he was, and this is a guy who did great work with Telecomics, working to keep access for the Egyptians during their revolution and such things. And he had basically come to the conclusion that he was going to go home and do away with himself. And it was only when he went to a hacker conference and sort of shared in the actual community that was there, besides just the hacker stuff, just like being with people and so on, that he changed his mind, basically, and started taking care of himself on a human level rather than just trying to bang away on the hacker work and keep going at it and going at it and going at it until there was nothing left, until he was burnt out. And so there is that aspect that we are a community, and we're finding ourselves with the responsibilities of being a community and taking care of one another above and beyond what we all started.
We've grown. We've evolved. Mm-hmm. And it seems like only in the past 2 years from the previous hope that I've really noticed it.
Well, I think, just looking back at the last three hopes, there has been a slow and gradual evolution towards a more, well, I suppose you could in some ways call it a soft focus on the community. As I think it was mentioned at the next hope, that was the previous one, how so many of the attendees now had gone from being the sort of stereotypical single young male.
Usually in a basement with a pocket protector and overbite.
Sure. And it had slowly been shifting where more and more of the attendees were now married adults, sometimes even with children who they were bringing along. I think that also reflects the gradual widening of the community, as more and more people have realized that despite the misuse of the hacker label in a lot of popular media, the term hacker can be applied to so many more people and so many more things than it is. And this has also helped open up the range of interests that we've had. I mean, I know Cable Flame has had her very late night talks for some time, but even
well, hackers are entitled to get some too.
Well, yes, I think you might find very few people willing to take the opposite stance there. Maybe Lamar Smith. Especially after that billboard they put up.
Well, if you'll give us a few minutes, we'll make our next identification. You're listening to Radio Statler. We are dealing with refreshments at the moment, so please stand by. This is a very technical and important skill in any radio station.
Finding Gonzo's drink.
It's extremely important that we do this.
I'll work on it. And we're resuming anyway, so go right ahead.
Right, so I think just before we did the ident, we were discussing the widening of the community and the ever-widening and more popular label of hacker in at least certain aspects of society. Oh, hello, people are moving. Right, so I think as this has happened, we are also beginning to recognize we're exposing ourselves to ever-increasing and ever-widening new ideas where so many of our attendees, I mean, I'm going to share something that I have not shared with terribly many people outside of my immediate family and my immediate social circle, but last May, that's not May this year, but May the previous year, I received a formal diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome, which we'll see whether or not that's sustained or not through the next revision of the DSM. But this was something that I had been concerned about for quite a while, particularly after at the I believe it's the Next Hope, the backlash at Adrian Lamo over his actions in relation to Bradley Manning. And so I began reading up a bit on him, and I came across an interview that had been done with him, or a profile that had been done of him by Wired a while back, and they discussed the fact that he had recently been diagnosed with Asperger's, or with an autism spectrum disorder. And this was something that then got me looking at myself, because as I read this profile, I noticed that quite a few of the things that he was talking about having issues with in his own life sounded a bit like me, reminded me of me. And this got me to seek professional assistance, seek out a diagnosis, and it took quite a while. The mental health system in this country is very difficult to navigate and is not particularly transparent or easy to deal with. I mean, there's only so many times you can go in asking to speak to someone for a diagnosis for a particular disorder, and having a nurse just meet your request with a rather off-putting questions demanding to know if you're suicidal. No matter how many times you tell them, no, I'm fine, I was told that I could come here to undergo a diagnostic test. Well, are you suicidal? No, I just told you. No, I'm not. Eventually, though, I did manage to find someone. New York City has a small group of mental health professionals who are specifically dedicated to this this narrow area. And I'm rambling a bit, but this I think is an issue that quite a few people that are considered members of the hacker community have dealt with, whether they've realized it or not. I think the inclusion of the autism panel, which was at noon Friday at Hope, was a big step and an important step for Hope and for the hacker community, or as Gonzo seems to want to label it now, the hacker neighborhood. because discussing these things and educating people is an extremely important part of, I think, what we do and quite a lot of what hope does.
Well, you know, I guess it's it's been a long time coming, because for years I've looked at all of us and said, man, we do a lot of weird shit.
We do.
And, you know, I was wondering, is it just me?
We all have our own...
Yeah, everyone's got a quirk in some way.
Yeah, and everyone does. Even people who are not on the spectrum have no diagnosed or recognized medical disorder or neurological disorder or psychological disorder. Everyone still has their little quirks, their little oddities. Some people just can't stand certain smells, certain sounds, whatever. Some people have legitimate issues which they need assistance with, and some people, the majority of people, can either deal with issues with just the support of their friends and the people that are close to them, and some people really do need more extensive assistance.
I was at that talk, and one thing that I found that has sort of resonated with me and resonated with Hope itself, this is my first Hope that I've ever been to, is that this is very much a event where people share skills. And they can be technical skills, like we've got the lockpickers right on the other side of this wall here, but they can also be social skills. And a lot of what they talked about at the autism panel was, you know, sort of hacking autism. You know, here are ways that you can, you know, learn more about what your brain is doing, learn more about how other people expect you to behave and where the breakdowns are and how to compensate for those so that you can, you know, lead a more successful life. And so that, in that way, I thought it was very good.
Yeah. Perhaps we're using the word hack in lieu of cope. Perhaps we've been coping all these years rather than just hacking.
The thing about the hacker attitude is you can apply it toward things besides a computer. If you're hacking at a computer, you're trying to understand how it works so you can make it work in ways in which you want. And if you're basically hacking your own state of being, your own mind, and how you understand and deal with things, you're learning more about why the inside of your head seems the way it does, so you can possibly influence it or deal with it in a way that that gets the results you want, whether it's to be more comfortable among other people or whether it's to just to deal with your life in a more productive manner. It's just like you can apply the term hack to any sort of any sort of developing of a skill set to deal with something that you want to deal with.
Yeah,
whether it's something on you in front of a computer screen, you know, in front of you on a computer screen, or something that you deal with as part of your day-to-day life.
I may have been influenced a little bit by Mitch Altman and his definition of hacker, which is basically whatever you want to do.
Precisely.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally one of the common baselines with any definition of hacker, even the ones that I think are generally misused or abuse the term in the popular media, is the basic idea of working through or around an obstacle that prevents you from getting from where you are to where you want to go. And this can be a workaround or this can be a fix. It almost never truly eliminates that roadblock, but it finds a way through it. And this basic concept can be applied to really anything. If you just think about it enough, whether it's, I think the latest issue of the magazine, of 2600 magazine, there was a story of someone who had a device used by car loan companies to disable vehicles that were late on payments. And he found a way to eventually bypass and remove the device. This is an illustration of one, both technical hack, but also the underlying concept of a hack. It's finding a way around or through the problem that you're facing. And whether the problem that you're facing is an emotional issue, a psychological issue, or a technical issue, it can always be worked through if you just think about it in the right way and address it in the right way.
I remember what it was like years ago when I first had gotten into this. It was BBS's back then. And 22 years ago in northern New Jersey, it may as well have been the Northwest Territories in terms of technology. There were people as far back as the late 80s who still had 5 digits in the county where I grew up for their phone numbers. And man, we felt so alone with our BBS. We thought no one else could get near us. Until one day we heard about the deregulation of the net and everyone come on in. And for so many of us who went along with that, we felt, man, we're not going to be so alone anymore. And I think that's what we've seen happen with how we are now talking about autism and depression, that, you know, that now it's a whole new crop of people saying, I'm not so alone. I don't feel this way alone.
That's an excellent point. I mean, I think human history just shows over and over again that any group, over time, given the opportunity, will continuously expand to include ever more people, whether they absorb neighboring groups or they slowly expand to allow entry to new groups, to new topics, to new things. Human history has shown that everything eventually will move towards a more inclusive society or organization or category. And with that, I think we need to take a brief break. So please enjoy the hold music.
At the tone, 7 hours, 0 minutes, coordinated universal time.
These experimental transmissions are not on a continuous basis.
Isn't it? Somewhere.
It's dark outside.
Okay, in that case, Eastern nighttime.
Better.
Night Owl is currently out of the room attending to his necessities, but I was going to pose one strange question which occurred to me over the break. I'm curious, since you've been here for the longest amount of time, did you ever sense previously in any of the hopes a sort of fear or sense that if you were outed for being at a hacker conference or being associated with hackers, that it was somehow a taboo, and that now you can come out of, you know, the Hotel Pennsylvania and say, I am a hacker, just probably a little bit more easily than coming out of the closet, for example.
Oh, yeah. yeah, because people would automatically assume you're a criminal. That's what it was.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I remember my Uncle Eric years ago saying to me, what are you doing, running around hacking into stuff? Yeah, all the time.
And yeah. So I think what we are seeing is the Vanguard community at this point, a community that is now accepted and becoming one with, dare I say, the mainstream.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a slow, painful process. Serena Altschul comes to mind. She's still a pain in the ass. But it's been that slow progressional role that we've been in. We were seen as the badass. Now we're seen as the computer geek next door who can help.
The thing is, too, like, thinking back to the early hopes, my first hope was H2K in 2000. And when that was before I had pictures of myself on the internet at all, so I remember hiding my face in photos because that wasn't something that was generally done yet. You didn't have photos of yourself because it was just that much. It still had that attachment of being a shady thing, and sort of at least in my mind. And early in my participation, I mean, when I first got involved in the hacker community.